I'm Pastor JP. I want to welcome you to our worship service. We are going to be talking about marriage today. It's part of a series that we've been in on relationships. We began it talking about the great commandment, the most important commandment, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Then we looked at all the one another's in the Bible that call us to relationship. We talked about our relationships at work, making it work at work. And we talked about being single. And now we're going to spend this week and next week talking about being married. And then we're going to talk about being parents. And then we're going to talk about being men of God on Father's Day. We talked about being women of God on Mother's Day. So it's really examining all the different relationships that we're in because, as we've been talking about in this series, if our relationships aren't working, our life's not working. Our life's not working because God created us for relationship. And for many of us, that includes this dynamic of marriage. And I think we intuitively know that it's a lot easier to talk about than to actually live out. So I decided to do some good research and get some good advice on marriage. So I went to Pinterest. And here's some marriage advice from Pinterest. Before you marry a person, you should first make them use a computer with slow internet to see what they're really made of. 90% of marriage is just shouting, "What?" from other rooms in the house. Marry someone who has a different favorite cereal than you do, so they won't eat all of yours. Never laugh at your wife's choices, men, because you're one of them. There you go. True love is waking up next to your spouse and thinking, "I could smother you or make breakfast." I think it's pancakes this morning. Marriage lets you annoy one special person for the rest of your life. Love is spending the rest of your life with someone you want to kill and not doing it because you'd miss them. Men, here's some really good advice. No woman has ever started an argument with a man while he was dusting, vacuuming, or washing dishes. And here's my favorite one. A wise man once said, "Nothing. He let his wife vent, and then they had sex together." So there you go. Pinterest knows that the dynamic of marriage is such that we need some advice to make it work. We need some help to make it work because two people don't naturally move towards intimacy and connection. Two people don't naturally experience the kind of fulfilling oneness that Jesus talks about in Scripture. So we need to know how to beat those marriage busters. And there are marriage busters, by the way. In fact, I want to talk about five of them. These are five marriage busters that if you are married or if you're going to be married, potentially could destroy the oneness, the mutuality, and the love that God would like to fill your life up with. There's the marriage buster of angry, critical, discouraging words. There's the marriage buster of negative attitudes. There's the marriage buster of stubborn pride. There's the marriage buster of selfishness. And then there's the marriage buster of isolation. You see, there are real obstacles for us having the kind of relationship in marriage that God would like us to have, that God wants us to have, that God provides for us to have. In fact, the scripture that I want to look at this morning actually addresses how we can beat every marriage buster. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 to 32 says this, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. It's his body, and he himself is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. And in the same way, husbands, love your wives as your own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Let me pray for us. Father, I pray that you would give every person here a very humble, teachable, coachable heart to receive your word, to be strengthened by it, and to set free by it. And I pray for every person to find fulfillment in Christ and wholeness and holiness in Christ. And I pray for every person who is married here that they might be empowered by this message and encouraged to beat all of those marriage busters and to have a marriage filled up with Christ's intimacy and oneness and joy and love. Jesus, may you fulfill your purpose in every person's life here today. And we ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So there are these marriage busters. But this passage actually tells us how to beat every marriage buster. And the key is being filled with the Holy Spirit. The key is being filled with the Spirit. This passage begins in Ephesians 5:18, where it commands, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, I don't know why the translators translate this term debauchery, because that makes me think of, you know, Captain Jack Sparrow in Pirates of the Caribbean or something. Debauchery. Actually, the word is a Greek term, asotia. Asotia is a word that means salvation. The alpha before it means the opposite of. So when we're drunk with wine, we manifest the opposite of salvation. The focus of this passage isn't to teach about drinking or non-drinking. It's about being filled with the Spirit. That's there to help us understand what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit, that's the command, means to be controlled by the Spirit, influenced by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, directed by the Spirit, so that rather than manifesting the opposite of salvation, what you manifest is salvation. It's only possible as the Holy Spirit is leading and empowering and filling our lives. This is a command. And it's a present tense command to be filled with the Spirit. In other words, it's be being filled. It's not just something that happens once, but it's repeated. It happens, and it happens again, and it happens again, and it happens again, so that actually the course of our life as Christ followers is a Spirit-filled life. We are being filled with the Spirit. This passage explains that when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it changes us. Because the primary, in a grammatical structure, the primary command is to be filled with the Spirit. And then all the action words in the passage that appear afterwards are participles. They are the results of being filled with the Spirit. So when you're filled with the Spirit, you sing and make melody in your heart. You give thanks. You submit yourself to others. Wives submit to their husbands. Husbands love their wives. These are all behaviors that flow out of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Being a Spirit-filled person makes you a different person. You manifest the life of Jesus Christ that is in you. And so what this passage is saying is when we are Spirit-filled, it changes our relationships in general. And then very specifically, it changes this dynamic relationship of marriage. So the key to beating all the marriage busters is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I mentioned that there's this contrast between being drunk with wine and being filled with the Spirit. It's a contrast of control. Because when a person is drunk, alcohol is controlling their behavior. And when a person's drunk, they say things they wouldn't say if they were sober. They do things they wouldn't do if they were sober. In the same way, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're controlled by the Holy Spirit. And so you say things you wouldn't have the capacity or the inclination to say on your own. And you do things that you wouldn't have the capacity or the inclinations to do on your own because you are filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit changes your internal attitudes. And the Spirit changes your words. And the Spirit changes your relationships so that you can actually have a Spirit-filled marriage, a marriage that is characterized by oneness and mutuality and love and intimacy and joy It's possible to have that kind of marriage. In fact, that's the kind of marriage that God wants people to have. And it's possible through being filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is the key to successful, positive living and to intimacy and oneness in marriage. Because the Holy Spirit, He changes our lives. Now, if you've been around Crossline much, you've heard me teach on this. It's such an important biblical truth. You've seen me actually use this illustration. But I have here some blue fizzy bathtub tablets. Moms, dads, this is great for kids. You drop them into the bathtub, and look what happens. They fizz. See, something about the property of these tablets, it makes contact with water, and it starts releasing what's in the tablet. In this case, it's the blue color. And as soon as you put the fizzy in there, it starts releasing blueness into the water. That's what the Holy Spirit does. When we believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. And if He is unhindered or not stifled or not disobeyed, what He will do is release love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What He'll release in our lives and our marriages is singing and making melody to one another, giving thanks in all things, submitting ourselves to one another, husbands loving and sacrificing themselves for their wives, wives submitting to and respecting their husbands. See, the Holy Spirit changes us. He transforms us. That's why the key to beating all the marriage busters is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit, it says in this passage, He gives us new words. We actually speak words that are positive and add value and bless God and bless others. It's like our words are the right spice. Last night, my wife was speaking at a retreat out of town, and she tells me, and it's probably true, every time she goes away to speak somewhere, I fix myself a big steak. So, and basically, that's all I had, man. It was a pound and a half ribeye. I didn't have anything else. No veggies, no salad, just a big ribeye. And it was about an inch and a half thick. And I took some olive oil and I kind of covered the whole steak with some olive oil. And then I put, you know, cracked pepper on it and then some cracked salt and then put it all over it, let it sit for a while and then cooked it medium rare. That's my favorite. And it was awesome because the salt and the pepper brought out the flavor of the ribeye. You know, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we sing, we make melody in our hearts to the Lord. We speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Our words kind of bring out the flavor of God's grace and God's truth when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, He gives us new attitudes on the inside. You see, we give thanks. We submit ourselves. We love. Because those are internal attitudes that the Holy Spirit produces on the inside. Throughout our kind of family vacation history, we spent a lot of our vacations in kind of beach areas. We like the beach. We like outside. I love to go snorkeling. And I have on numerous occasions in various beaches gone snorkeling and found laying on the bottom of the ocean these sea cucumbers. Anybody ever seen one of those, a sea slug or a sea cucumber? They're called sea cucumbers because they look like cucumbers. But you pick them up, and if you hold them in your hand and you kind of squeeze them, what comes out is this ink. It's kind of their natural defense mechanism. You know, marriage has a way of squeezing us. And based on what's inside, that comes out. And if you are a person who is being filled with the Spirit, what you are internalizing, because it's the Holy Spirit filling you up with this, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then when marriage squeezes you, what comes out is what has been built in. And if you're filled with the Spirit and cultivating a life in the Spirit, then increasingly, not perfectly, but increasingly, it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's giving thanks. It's loving. It's submitting. You see, those aren't natural behaviors. They are supernatural behaviors that the Holy Spirit produces in us. See, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, he transforms us, he changes us, he empowers us to beat the marriage busters in our lives. So, specifically, how does that happen? Well, when we are filled with the Spirit, we beat the marriage buster of angry, critical, and discouraging words. See, some of us, we are in marriages that have kind of reached the natural ceiling of closeness and communication and love because our words are creating a wedge between us and our spouse. When we speak angry, critical words, it divides, it doesn't unite. It hurts, it doesn't help. It curses, it doesn't bless. So some of us very personally can identify with the fact that maybe we are on the receiving end of those kind of words, or maybe we're the ones who speak those kinds of words. It's the way we communicate with our spouse. And because of that, we're not having the kind of intimacy and oneness and joy and love that God wants to produce in our marriage because angry, critical, discouraging words are a marriage buster. But what does it say in Ephesians 5? When we're filled with the Spirit, we speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. See, the filling of the Holy Spirit transforms the way we talk to each other. It changes the way husbands speak to their wives. It changes the way wives speak to their husbands. We don't just speak out of our natural inclination. We speak out of the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so we actually can add grace and truth and value to our spouse. Most of us here, we probably have a bank account. Let me ask you a question. If all you ever do is make withdrawals from your bank account, what will inevitably happen? Yeah, you run out of money, right? What if you make deposits and your deposits are more than your withdrawals? Well, you start building up some money. So every person has a grace bank account in their soul. Life has a way of making withdrawals. But if we, because we're filled with the Holy Spirit, speak words of songs and hymns and spiritual songs, words of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, we're adding grace into our spouse. And when we add grace into our spouse, we're adding grace into our marriage. And the way we speak those kind of words is by being people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Because Spirit-filled people manifest the filling of the Holy Spirit in their lives. How? By singing, making melody in our hearts to the Lord, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's some of the transformation that the Holy Spirit produces in our lives. So we can beat the marriage buster of angry, critical, and discouraging words by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's a second marriage buster. It's a negative attitude. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we beat the marriage buster of a negative attitude. Our attitude, it colors everything about our lives. Attitude is kind of like the grid by which we see reality. Our attitude kind of comes out in our words. Our attitude comes out in our emotions. Our attitude comes out in our decision-making and our actions. Our attitude is kind of revealed not just in what we say, it's also revealed in the way we say it. Because we could say, I love you. Or we could say, I love you. Or we could say, I love you. Same words, different attitude. See, the Holy Spirit not only transforms our words, he transforms our attitudes. And our attitude can either be positive or negative. Our attitude can either be something that adds life, or attitude can just suck. See, some people are hamstringing their own marriage relationship because of their bad attitude. And if that's the case, just own it. I mean, if you are a person who kind of lives life or approaches your marriage with a bad attitude, realize your bad attitude is the barrier for you and your spouse having intimacy and oneness in Christ with one another. How do we get over a bad attitude? Well, we got to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, what's the result? What's the fruit? What does the Holy Spirit do? And by way of this transformation, well, we sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord. We give thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's a joyful, positive, grateful, life-giving attitude. I like people like that. I want to be around people like that. I want to be one of those kind of people. People do not like being around drainers. See, all of us, just because we're human, we're going to, you know, flow with circumstances and stuff. And so you can't have an awesome attitude all the time. But some of us have just accepted a bad attitude as the way we kind of do life. And it's our attitude that is hindering our marriage from going to a deeper place of intimacy in Christ. It's our attitude that's creating a wedge between us and our spouse. It's our attitude that is robbing us of the life that Jesus wants to give us in our marriage. But when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, see, he changes our attitudes, and he makes us life givers rather than life suckers. We have a positive, joyful, faith-filled attitude that blesses our spouse and leads us to deeper intimacy and oneness. So there's a marriage buster of a negative attitude, and the way to beat the marriage buster is by being filled with the Spirit. Not just once, not just two or three times, but as a course of life, every day, living life, being filled with the Spirit. Coming into your marriage, being filled with the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit is transforming your attitude. Here's a third marriage buster. It's the marriage buster of stubborn pride. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we beat the marriage buster of stubborn pride. Now see, pride kills intimacy. Pride creates a wedge in relationship. God says that in James chapter 4, where he says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God's opposed to the proud. So, I mean, if pride causes you to be at odds with God, certainly it's gonna cause you to be at odds with your spouse. Because when you're prideful, when I'm prideful, we're basically saying to our spouse, I don't need you. I don't want your input. I don't want your advice. I don't want your contribution. And you can't go any further in a relationship when one or both of you are being dominated by pride. You can't move into intimacy. You can't move into oneness. You can't experience the mutual love of Jesus Christ in your life because your pride is killing it. And so if you're a person whose default response is pride, that's creating a wedge in your marriage. Now, stepping back, we all relate to this. We all get this because it's hard to be humble. We are like Mac Davis. Mac Davis, country western star, he wrote a song, It's Hard to Be Humble. Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror because I get better looking every day. To know me is to love me. I must be a hell of a man. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best I can. I used to have a girlfriend, but I guess she just couldn't compete with all those love-starved women who keep cowering at my feet. Oh, I probably could find another, but I guess they're all in awe of me. And who cares? I never get lonesome because I treasure my own company. I guess you could say I'm a loner, a cowboy, tough and proud. I could have lots of friends if I wanted, but then I wouldn't stand out in a crowd. Some folks say that I'm egotistical. Hell, I don't even know what that means. But I guess it has something to do with the way I look in these skin-tight jeans. Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror because I get better looking every day. To know me is to love me. I must be a hell of a man. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best I can. Now, there's a little Mac Davis in every one of us here. We understand it's hard to be humble. It is. So how do we get over ourselves if it's hard to be humble? It's through the Holy Spirit. It's through his work in our lives. See, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, he changes us on the inside. He changes our attitudes. He changes our words. He changes our relationships so that we speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. And everything, we give thanks and we submit ourselves to one another in the fear of Christ. You know, this submission thing isn't just for wives. This is a Christian thing. This is a follower of Christ thing. We are called to submit as Christ submitted. But how? You know, because it's hard to be humble. I don't like that. Well, the Holy Spirit transforms my attitude. The Holy Spirit replaces pride with humility. The Holy Spirit replaces stubbornness with teachability. The Holy Spirit replaces independence with a positive, submissive spirit, you see. The key is to be filled with the Holy Spirit today, tomorrow, the next day, as a way of life. As I am being filled with the Holy Spirit, he changes me. And in marriage, there are all these marriage busters, and pride is a marriage buster. And the way to beat the marriage buster of selfishness and pride is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's a fourth marriage buster. It's selfishness. When we're filled with the Spirit, we beat the marriage buster of selfishness. See, selfishness is looking out for number one, and guess what? We always think we're number one. So it's natural because we inherited from our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, Adam, a sin nature. So we come into this world with a propensity to sin. We come into this world with the capacity to rebel against God and to assert ourselves over other people. Selfishness is in us. And if you have a hard time believing that, just talk to any mom who has a 2 or 3-year-old. Selfishness is in us, but it's also learned. We learn to be selfish because we had some selfish role models growing up. So it's both innate and it's learned. So you get two people come into marriage who have selfishness in them. It's a marriage buster. It's an intimacy buster. It's a love buster. And just like the example used in Ephesians 5:18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, debauchery, asotia, the opposite of salvation, but be filled with the Spirit. See, when you're controlled by alcohol, the alcohol produces a behavior. But when you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit produces a behavior. So the way you defeat the marriage buster of selfishness is by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we are not just self-centered, we're other-centered. And all those one another's in the Bible, that you got to be other-centered to apply them. And so the only way we can apply them is by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because being filled with the Spirit is being filled with Jesus. We actually have Jesus inside of us, his power, his love, his resource living in us and through us. We can overcome the marriage buster of selfishness by being filled with the Spirit. And the way this works out in Ephesians 5 is the fruit of being filled with the Spirit is that we speak to one another. We submit ourselves to one another. Husbands love their wives. Wives respect and submit to their husbands. You see, being filled with the Spirit dynamically affects the way we treat each other, and specifically the way we treat each other in marriage. Spirit-filled husbands love their wives, sacrifice themselves for their wives, seek to nourish and cherish their wives. Spirit-filled wives submit to their husbands. Spirit-filled wives respect their husbands. Being filled with the Holy Spirit overcomes that natural and learned tendency towards selfishness so that we do unto others as we would have them do unto us. You know, if you are in chronic pain, I was talking to someone in our church in the previous service who's in back pain. I can relate to that. If you're in chronic pain, sometimes you just kind of, all your emotional energy is kind of managing the pain. And it's really hard to think about other people and what's happening with other people. But there's a wonderful, wonderful resource called a painkiller. You don't want to abuse them, but the proper use of them can be super helpful because it can kind of lower that pain level to a more tolerable place. And now your focus just isn't on yourself. You're actually freed up to focus on other people. Well, the Holy Spirit, you know what he does? Because see, we all have pain, soul pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain. And sometimes we operate out of our pain and it comes off as selfishness. So we might see someone's behavior and just think they're selfish and not see maybe the pain that's underneath that, that's causing that behavior. But when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, see, the Holy Spirit brings healing into our hearts. He brings grace into our shame. He brings freedom into our bondage. He brings truth into our deception. And now, rather than just being self-centered, because of the Holy Spirit, we can be other-centered. The key to busting through this barrier of selfishness is being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, when he fills us, he leads us, he directs us, he empowers us. We live in his resource. He produces in us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And rather than being selfish, we become selfless and we become other-centered. But some of us here, our marriage, it's reached a ceiling because of our selfishness. And what we need is to surrender our lives to the Holy Spirit and ask him to take control and to fill us and to lead us. And not just do that once, but do it tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that, and every day live in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Here's the last marriage buster: isolation. When we are filled with the Spirit, we beat the marriage buster of isolation. Now, some of you know this stuff better than I do, but Newton's first law of motion states that a body in motion at a constant velocity will remain in motion in a straight line unless it's acted upon by an outside force. Newton's second law of motion states that if an unbalanced force acts upon a body that's in motion, that body will either experience acceleration or deceleration. So that's the first and second law of thermodynamics, laws of motion. Now, here's JP's first and second law of marriage motion. First and second law of marriage motion. Human beings will move towards disconnection and isolation unless acted upon to stop that motion and move them towards each other. See, it's the law of emotional entropy. We're not naturally moving closer to our spouse. It's not like you say I do, they say I do, you're married now, and automatically you just become intimate and close and connected and one another's best friends and share each other's burdens and love each other unconditionally. And it just gets better and better every day just because you said I do. And so now it's just getting better because you said I do. No, the exact opposite is the case. We will move away from each other unless acted upon to move us back towards each other. Well, what is it that acts upon two people that stops moving away in isolation but causes them to move towards each other in oneness? It's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that leads us back to each other. That's why it says in Ephesians 5, describing how the filling of the Holy Spirit changes our lives, it says, Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This one flesh principle happens when there is a leaving and a cleaving, moved by the Holy Spirit. See, when the Holy Spirit is filling my life, I move towards my spouse. And when you have two people filled with the Holy Spirit moving towards each other, they develop intimacy and mutuality and oneness. It's the old triangle illustration. You know, if there was a triangle here, and at the very top of the triangle is Jesus. And here at this point is a husband, and here at this point is a wife. If a husband is moving closer to Jesus, and a wife is moving closer to Jesus, what's happening to the two of them? They're moving closer to each other. That happens when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. It happens when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. See, there are marriage busters. And the only way we beat the marriage busters is by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, He changes our attitudes. He changes our words. He changes our relationship. And we move closer to Jesus, and we move closer to our spouse. And when two people are moving closer to Jesus and moving closer to each other, they increasingly experience spiritual oneness, the life that God wants to produce in them as a married couple. Whether you're single or married, the most important thing for your relationships is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in particular, if you are married, what Jesus wants to give you is a marriage filled with His life and His fruit and His oneness, and it's possible if you surrender your whole life to Christ and every day live in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. This is a prayer that reflects that desire. I'm going to send this out to all of us at Crossline because I want to encourage you to pray this today. And pray it again tomorrow, and pray it again the next day, and pray it every day. It's a prayer to ask the Holy Spirit to bless your marriage. Jesus, I surrender my whole life to You. I ask You to fill me with the Holy Spirit. I pray You will produce all the fruit of the Spirit in my mind, my heart, my words, my actions. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You'll bless my marriage and empower me and my spouse to experience Christ's oneness in love. Jesus, may Your love control me. May I be blessed and be a blessing to my spouse. In Jesus' name, amen. If this is the desire that you have for your marriage, then I invite you to pray this with me. Jesus, I surrender my whole life to You. I ask You to fill me with the Holy Spirit. I pray You will produce all the fruit of the Spirit in my mind, my heart, my words, and my actions. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You'll bless my marriage and empower me and my spouse to experience Christ's oneness and love. Jesus, may Your love control me. May I be blessed and be a blessing to my spouse. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the only hope that any of us have to have the kind of marriages that God wants us to have and that we really long for is to be Spirit-filled people. Because to be Spirit-filled is to be filled up with Jesus. To be Spirit-filled is to think with the mind of Jesus. To be Spirit-filled is to speak with the words of Jesus. To be Spirit-filled is to love with the love of Jesus. So when we're Spirit-filled, Jesus is the center of our lives. And when two people, a husband and wife, are Spirit-filled, Jesus is the center of their marriage. And that's what Jesus wants for all of us, who are married. And for all of us who are not married, the key to living as a single person is being filled with the Spirit. Because when you're filled with the Spirit, Jesus thinks with your mind. When you're filled with the Spirit, Jesus speaks with your mouth. When you're filled with the Spirit, Jesus loves with your heart. And the way you can be the kind of follower of Jesus that he wants you to be is only through being filled with the Holy Spirit.